You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
I chose a song from The Supremes that didn't really show off my range too much, but was in the style of the show. And I sang that, and then I sang the sides, and the sides were actually they had more range than what my song had. And after I finished singing those, Mary Sugarman and Caitlin Shaw were behind the table. And gosh, they're just such advocates for actors because they know that we're nervous and they know that, you know, they've seen us do so many other auditions. They know what we're capable of and they really allow for that. And it's so wonderful because after I finished singing, I remember Caitlin whispering something to Mary and Mary was like, "Hillary, what else is in your book?" And I was like, "Nothing in the style of the show." And she was like, "Yeah, I don't care. What else is in your book?" And I was like, "Well, I really love to sing The Life I Never Led from Sister Act." And she was like, "Okay, sing that." So I sang that. And she like leaned back and sighed and smiled and was like, "Yes, yes, that. Come back this afternoon for the music director and sing that." She was like, "I don't care that it's not in the style of the show. Please just sing that for him."
Hey, what's going on? It's me, Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage, an online training platform that helps actors to train like athletes. You're an actor, you're an athlete, so start training like one. Try out a free trial. Go to the website, builtforthestage.com, or click the link in the description of this episode, and you'll be on your way with 7 days of exercises, programming, coach interaction, our specialty program, Flow, which helps performers with mobility and flexibility, all things specifically catered to performers and enhancing their athletic abilities. So head on over to builtforthestage.com and let's get to know each other. Speaking of getting to know each other, come on over to our Instagram account or our TikTok account and follow us at Built for the Stage. You also go to TikTok, you can also go to Twitter at BFTS Broadway. All right, speaking also of getting to know people, we want you to get to know our guest coming up. Special guest, exciting guest as always here on BFTS Podcast. We have Hillary Porter. Hi, Hillary.
Hi.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. The world of theater is small, and before we started recording here, we're just going over some of our mutual contacts.
Yes.
I saw that, you know, you made your Broadway debut in A Bronx Tale. Definitely we'll be getting into that. Your tour life has been quite extensive. I can't wait to chat about that a bit. And everyone listening, Hillary also has been a part of like the who's who of regional theater productions. Like she's been on like all the stages of the most legit regional theaters across the country, it seems like. So,
thanks.
I always say Broadway's amazing, but sometimes you head out to a regional show and you're like, oh, this kind of might just have gone over the top of what I might have seen in the theater district in New York City. So if you want to check out Hillary's website, you can check her out at hillaryporter.com and hillaryporter_ on the Instagram. All right. Hillary, so let's just get to know you a bit, your journey to this crazy world of theater. Something I saw right off the bat, it was actually on your resume. Every time I bring up people's resumes, they start sweating like, oh, what did I put on there? I haven't looked at it in the longest time.
It's been a minute, for sure.
Yeah, that's usually always the reply. So you graduated from Clemson.
I did. Right? Go Tigers.
I went to Coastal Carolina, just a little bit east of you there. And you majored in communications and minored in theater. So
yeah.
I wanted to get into that because it's a little unique and it's an interesting conversation to always bring up as far as the topic of like, do you really need to major in theater? And your personal view on just the pros and cons of how that went for you?
So I think my internet was a little spotty for a second. Could you repeat the first part of that question?
Yeah, here we go. So I saw that you went to Clemson and majored in communications and minored in theater. I wanted to bring up this conversation because I find that it's always an interesting one from the person's perspective of the pros and cons of majoring in theater or not, and how that's kind of played out for you in the midst of your career.
Yeah.
So my question, I didn't really set you up.
My question
is, during your career, were there moments where you were like, you know what, I'm so glad I didn't major in theater and it was just my minor? And were there moments where you're like, oh, I wish I did, you know? Any specific moments?
It's definitely both of those. I mean, there's some right now, I'm kind of glad I have this communications major to, I guess, fall back on and try to pursue other work at the moment while the theater industry is shut down. But yeah, I mean, this whole journey of my theater life and career, I have kind of wished that I had majored in theater, but you know, there's a give and take. So let me start back. I didn't actually intend to pursue theater, which is why I didn't major in it. I didn't even know Clemson had a theater program when I attended, and I was a freshman communications major. I thought that I would either go into broadcasting or there was a point in my life where I thought I would go into animation and pursue that a little later. And then my sophomore year at Clemson, I discovered that they had a theater program and they were doing musicals and plays. And I was like, wait a minute. I really enjoy doing this stuff. And I was on the dance team at Clemson, so I was a dancer as well. And that's kind of where the bug bit me. I did their musical and then I did two plays there. And after I did the second play, I was like, wow. I've got to pursue this. This is something that I just have to do. And I think that's what's important in this industry is we all feel like we have to do this. Like there's nothing else for us. And so I switched my minor to theater my sophomore year and decided to graduate a year early because the other option was to transfer to a conservatory for four more years. And I was like, well, then that's so much time in school. I don't think I need that much time in school. And I started to pursue other options outside of school to kind of get a musical theater education. And I did just that. I graduated early. I got my communications degree, completed a minor very quickly. And I did some classes with Broadway Artists Alliance. And I considered that my musical theater education. And that's kind of how I met some people in the industry and got to know a little bit about this industry. Because when I say I didn't know anything, that is such an understatement. I didn't know anyone in New York. I didn't know anything. Didn't know how to do anything.
just to pause, you grew up in competitive dance, right?
Kind of. I started dancing when I was 12. And
okay,
it was
12.
At a competitive studio. I was doing sports and competitive cheerleading before that. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I started dancing since I was 12.
You enter Clemson, a communications major. You're gifted at dance. You're on their dance team. And then you see the theater thing and you get interested in it. Graduate. So basically, you just really theater-wise have the brief stint of the theater minor that you did at Clemson.
I had done a couple musicals in high school because my dance teacher found out that I sang. And she's like, I didn't know you sing. I was like, yeah, it's fun. And she was like, well, great. I choreograph all the shows at the Greenville Little Theater in South Carolina.
Yeah.
And she was like, just so you know, you're doing Guys and Dolls next year. I was like, great. Love that. Because I loved musicals. My parents took me to musicals growing up and appreciating theater. And so there's always been a love there. But it just never seemed realistic to pursue.
Yeah. So you moved to New York. And you book your Broadway debut the next day, or how did that go?
Exactly like that. No, I'm just kidding. I was actually in college still, and I auditioned for the national tour of Cats. This was the original production, not the revival production. And I ended up getting it. So after I graduated, I went on tour with Cats. And I think that was the best thing that could have ever happened to me, because it gave me a group of people to have a family when I got to New York, and it gave me some insight into the industry, and truly just the best experience, the best thing that could have happened for my path. Mm.
Okay, so you get to go on. So this was just out of college, or you're actually in the midst of it?
I auditioned while I was in college. So I had to like go to my communications teachers and be like, hi, can I miss a week of school to go to New York and audition for CATS? Yeah. And what's interesting is, and I tell any masterclass or workshop that I teach, I tell my students, like, look, do well in everything you do. You really don't know. Of course, it's going to benefit you no matter what, but you don't know how it's going to benefit you. And at Clemson, for my major at the time, if you missed two courses, they were allowed to fail you for the class. And so I was missing a week of school. And I went to all my teachers and was like, hey, do you mind if I go audition for this? Is that cool? And I had perfect attendance and straight A's in all my classes. And they were all like, have so much fun. Can't wait to hear about it when you're back. Yeah, don't worry about it. Make up the work later. And I guarantee you that wouldn't have been the case if they didn't know that I was trustworthy and a good student. And so, yeah, I was in school when I auditioned. And then right after I graduated in August, which is kind of a weird time because I had one Spanish class left to take that summer before I graduated. And then the tour started that October.
Okay. And how were you on there for a year? How long were you on the tour?
It was about a 7-8 month tour. It was the final year of that original CATS tour. Mm-hmm. And it ended in May of 2012.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Cool. And then you get back to the city, and then what happens?
I moved to the city then in January of 2013. So I wasn't even like living in the city yet. and then I did the non-equity life for a couple of years. I was at every audition because I was still trying to learn the industry. I didn't know anything. Gosh. Mm-hmm. And I was at every audition, dancer, singer wise, and just trying to get known and show people like, this is what I do. And the only way to do that is just have your face out there a lot.
Mm-hmm. So you being the experienced Hillary that you are now, what would you tell Hillary when she was just starting out that could maybe just fast track her way, her way through?
I think I would have tried to get an agent sooner than I did. I waited a couple of years until I pursued getting an agent, and I saw all of my friends getting appointments for Broadway shows that I didn't even hear about. And I, for some reason, thought like, oh, you know, I need to build my resume more before I try to get an agent. That way I have something to offer too, which is true. But I think I could have done it a little sooner than I did. And I think that would have helped more. But no, I think just to not be afraid. I was, you know, second guessing myself in everything I did, and to truly just be myself. Because when you first go into it, you're like, oh, well, this is what they need me to be. So this is what I'll be. I'm an actor. I'm a chameleon. I can do that. And I think just stay true to yourself the whole time is really what I would have told younger Hillary, that maybe might have set her on a better path. But I
right.
love my path. I think it's a good one.
That's a running theme here, an ongoing theme on the podcast, as far as just going into the room and bringing yourself to every facet of it. So let's fast forward a bit to you making your Broadway debut. How was the audition process there? Were there any dramatic booking stories where you get the phone call or the text and you find out you're going to, you know, be on Broadway?
Yes. Wow, what a wonderful time in my life. Bronx Tale. I will say that audition process was the most, like, throw you for a loop audition process that I've ever had. I was going in for the Vacation Swing, and there were a group of girls there who were also doing the Vacation Swing, and they kept narrowing it down and cutting girls that day, and we were dancing, and it was down to six of us at one point, and I was really nervous because I recognized the other five girls, and they had all either like worked with or knew the choreographer really well, and I was like, oh man, you know, I hope that doesn't hurt me because I really feel right for this, and they're all super talented too. And So Mark Kimmelman was the associate choreographer, and he was in the room, and Sergio Trujillo was the choreographer, and he came a little later in the audition process. And we had been running the dance, and it's a very technical combination. I don't know if you saw the show. There's not a ton of dancing in the show past the opening number, but this audition combination was technical, fast, you know, all out, full out dancing. And Sergio had kind of wanted to see what we could do on our feet. And we weren't really expecting that for this role. And so he was like, okay, you know, do the dance. And so we did the dance. And he asked us to do the dance again, but to change the arms. And so we were like, okay. So like we kind of just ever so slightly changed the arms, and he's like, girls, come on, I'm giving you permission to change my choreography. Really do your own thing with it. And so then we did our own thing with it. And he's like, great. All right. He's telling us the characteristics of these girls, and, you know, they're tough girls and they're in the Bronx and, you know, they don't take anything from anyone. And he pushes us all off to the side. He's like, all right, one by one, let's go. And we're doing the dance and it's being filmed. And they had already filmed us two by two. And I was not first to go, thank goodness. And the first girl to go. So he tells her, he's like, look, really, like, he's like, I'm going to have Mark stand over there and really talk to him and be like, look, you know, show him your characteristics and your character and really like be your character in this dance and do it to Mark. And so she goes, and he stops her midway through, and he's like, what are you doing? And she was like, what do you mean? He's like, you're not talking to him. And she was like, oh, verbally speak to Mark while I'm dancing. And he was like, yeah, let's go. And so we were all like, oh, okay, got it. Okay. And so she does it again, flawlessly speaks to Mark while dancing. And I was fortunately last to go. And so in my mind, I had created this whole character arc.
Yeah. You had your lines ready. You had a monologue ready. You were ready.
So I thought, and so it's my turn to go. And I was familiar with Mark beforehand. We hadn't worked together, but just through class and whatnot, he'd seen me before, we were familiar. And I go, everything just blanks out in my head. Like the whole monologue I had prepared in my mind on the side was gone. And I start dancing and just words coming out. And I think I was mad at Mark about how he was going with this other girl and he was supposed to be with me and all this stuff. And I remembered Sergio just being like, no, you're tough. You're really tough girls. And so at one point in the dance, I blanked out and I stopped dancing, but I continued just like cussing Mark out. I flipped him off, like just truly went all out. And then it ended with a double inside pirouette hit. And that was the button. And I like blanked out, but I did that final button and I was like, you know what? They have a video of me dancing. I did it great before. I think this was all about the character. So I'm just going to stay in character. That's what's important right now. But at the same time, I was also like, cool, I'm done. I blanked out of the dance. And that was it for the day. And then they called three of us back the next day to sing. And we had just found out that they now had two open positions instead of one. One of the girls in the show had unfortunately just gotten injured, I think, a couple of days before. And so they needed an ensemble member and a vacation swing. So we were all like, okay, that is very interesting. You know, this kind of changes things. And so I go in and sing in the style of the show. And they wanted kind of a doo-wop-y number. And they give you sides, too. I had plenty of sides to sing from. And I chose a song from The Supremes that didn't really show off my range too much, but was in the style of the show. And I sang that, and then I sang the sides, and the sides were actually, they had more range than what my song had. And after I finished singing those, Mary Sugarman and Caitlin Shaw were behind the table. And gosh, they're just such advocates for actors because they know that we're nervous and they know that, you know, they've seen us do so many other auditions. They know what we're capable of and they really allow for that. And it's so wonderful because after I finished singing, I remember Caitlin whispering something to Mary and Mary was like, Hillary, what else is in your book? And I was like, nothing in the style of the show. And she was like, yeah, I don't care. What else is in your book? And I was like, well, I really love to sing The Life I Never Led from Sister Act. And she was like, okay, sing that. So I sang that and she like leaned back and sighed and smiled and was like, yes, yes, that. Come back this afternoon for the music director and sing that. She was like, I don't care that it's not in the style of the show. Please just sing that for him. And I said, yeah, of course. Thank you so much. Because I mean, a lot of times you're not given that chance and they totally gave me the chance to do that. And it was so wonderful. So I came back and did that for the music director. And then the next day, it was just two of us and we sang for the whole team. And then that night it was a very quick process. And I thought I was going to hear that night and I didn't. And I had told my agent, I was like, look, I'm really nervous. So if I don't get it, text me. If I do get it, call me. And he was like, okay. And so I went to work that night and I had my phone in my pocket. And of course, I was part of two group threads that night. So I'm getting texts all night long. And I don't know who they're from each time. So with every buzz to my phone, I was like, oh gosh, I didn't get it. I didn't get it. And then I would kind of get a break from work and I would check it. And I'm like, oh, okay, guys, please stop texting me. And the next morning, I still hadn't heard anything. And my agent texted me and was like, hey, still haven't heard anything. Don't worry. I'm like, got it, Ricky. Just don't text me. And so I was filming kind of a piano video the next morning with a friend. And she was kind of hoping that I would hear while we were filming so she could film it on tape. But of course, nothing happens the way you want it to in this industry. So we had finished up with that and I had gotten back home. And I got out a pint of ice cream from the freezer and was like, okay, you know what? Just time to relax. Time to relax. It's cool. It's fine. And the second I took like my first bite, my agent was calling me and I was like, it's a phone call, getting a phone call. And so I answered the phone and my agent, Ricky Fishbein, and he was like, hey, Hillary. I was like, hey, Ricky. And he was like, what are you doing? I said, I'm just at home. And he goes, oh, that's a good place to be. I was like, yeah, is it? And he was like, yeah, you're going to be on Broadway. And I just, you know, immediate tears, just started crying because I was just on pins and needles the whole time. And he told me that I was going to be the vacation swing and what the contract was. And he finished talking and I was like, Vicky, you're going to email me this, right? Because I really don't know what you just said. And he's like, I know you're in Broadway blackout. It's totally fine. I'm going to email you everything, every detail. You have nothing to worry about. Go call your mom. And I was like, I'm going to call my mom. And so that was, I had started rehearsals the next week And I had, I started on a Tuesday, had my put in on Friday. So we just had a couple of days to learn the show. And I learned my first track that week. And then it was another week before I was actually going on. And so I learned my second track the following week and was doing understudy rehearsal for my second track the following Friday. And then that night went on for the first track I had learned the week before. And that was that.
Fabulous. Text or a phone call?
Yes.
I love that. Thanks so much for sharing that. So that was a huge up. That was like,
huge, the top of the top.
Before we started the recording, you had shared that you had some ankle problems and it eventually led to ankle surgery. Mm-hmm. Tell us just a little bit about you get the surgery and what it was like to have to, rehab and just sit out a bit. Just for our listeners, you know, we love the ups. We acknowledge the downs and we just, thrive off of hearing others, you know, overcoming them. So just tell us a little bit about that experience and how it turned out afterwards.
Yeah. I mean, plenty of ups, plenty of downs in this business, but I had had surgery on my ankle. It was just in a lot of pain and surgery was kind of the only option to fix it. And you know, I had to teach my foot how to be a foot again afterwards. It was honestly crazy to think about because you would look at your foot and you're like, why can't you move? And so it was quite the process. And, you know, I was in a cast for a while, but that was giving me a lot of pain. Then I was in an air cast and I just couldn't move. They're like, we're going to put you in an air cast because you're in pain from your cast. You can't move for weeks. And so I didn't. And then I was in a boot and a boot with crutches. And then just a brace, but the physical therapy was, it was rough. I mean, I broke down and I cried a lot because I couldn't get my foot to do normal things, just like rolling my ankle even, I couldn't do. And I remember thinking like, oh, great, I'm never going to dance again. Was this a huge mistake? But, you know, that's just your mind making you think all these things. And of course I danced again, but it was, I think, eight to 10 weeks of physical therapy. And it took a couple months to really get back. I would say 6 months before it was better and good enough to dance again. I danced on it before 6 months, but probably shouldn't have.
Did this stop you from, were you in the midst of just auditioning or what point in your career or life did this all happen?
I was 26 because I was still on my parents' insurance. And so I knew I had to get it done at that time. And I went back to auditioning shortly after. I wasn't in a show and that's why I had chosen this time to do it. I had just finished a very long run at Tuakon Amphitheater. And at the end of that 6 months, I was like, okay, I'm getting surgery. I'm not going to auditions. So I had the surgery. And a few months later, I was auditioning again.
And how was it coming back, like in your first audition or two with the ankle just having recovered?
It was rough. I tried not to let it show, but just kind of pushed through. I knew I wasn't going to hurt it. It was just a matter of, it's a muscle, you know, you teach it to do its thing mm-hmm. again. And then, eventually started getting better and better and better. And yeah. I ended up having actually a really good year later that year, theater wise. So,
okay, great. All right. Let's dig into this, just one step further. Cause you know, what's coming to me is that a lot of people during the pandemic have experienced maybe at the start, they were at a certain fitness level. And then during the pandemic, it was obviously trying for all of us and they find themselves in a little bit lesser of shape than they normally would be in. And then you come to the point of like making that decision of, you know, I need to make a change and get back to putting my physical well-being and my fitness as a priority. And when you do, you know, that first week or so when you are like, oh, I used to be able to do this, or I never could do this, and I'm at an even lower point, so I surely am not going to be able to do it. Can you relate that a little bit to the ankle, like when you were coming back and you had to tell yourself, like, you will be able to be who you were. It might take some time, and these first couple of weeks might be a bit daunting. Like, how did you get through that mentally?
It was difficult because I'm someone who is constantly nonstop, kind of put my foot the gas a lot. I'm always thinking about, let's keep going. What can I do? What more can I do? I always want to keep doing more. And I had to slow down. And it was important that I slowed down. And I knew that, but it was hard to physically comprehend that. And I didn't go to as many auditions as I usually do. And yeah, fitness is super important. And I'm someone who works out a lot and knows that your physical and mental and emotional fitness is what keeps you going in this business. And if you aren't taking care of your body as a whole, then you're probably not going to get very far because of the demand on your body in this industry.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing the ankle story and just kind of like working through that. I hope anyone listening that is either fresh off an injury or just recovering from whatever it is during this pandemic, could be a low level of fitness, could be mental health. Hopefully you tapped into what Hillary was sharing with that. Going to some happy vibes with the pandemic, you've been able to do some cool stuff with Bill for the Stage friends of mine, Elliot Maddox, Chris Rice. You've been doing some like online performances or music videos. I always like asking about, like, not always do you get a permit when you're in like public areas while doing this. were there any funny stories when, I don't know where you were at for this video with Elliot. Were you at one point like under, like in a train station, like a subway station, or where were you dancing that, you know?
I was not in a subway station.
The shot is like it's like exposed brick with like paint chipping off the walls.
Yeah, that was in this spot in Brooklyn. He had chosen this space that kind of had a lot of different backgrounds to it, as it was like the spot with the TVs is just kind of like on the other side of that room with the exposed brick. It was so cool. And he's so creative and fantastic and had everything kind of planned out in his mind. And I was not originally supposed to be part of this. He had texted me the night before and he was like, "Hey Hillary, I just had someone drop out. I'm filming this dance video tomorrow. It's like 9 p.m. And he's like, "Can you be there tomorrow morning?" I was like, "Yeah, let's do it. I would love to." Yeah. And he's like, "Great, I'll send you the choreography." And he sent me that. And so I showed up and some of the other dance members were helping me learn it even right before the shoot. But yeah, it was a really cool concept. I know Elliot wanted to do a video each month for 2020, just for himself. And then when the pandemic hit, he was like, "You know what? I'm going to keep doing it." So he found a safe way to do it. And That was his final video of the year.
Yeah. I love what you just shared there, where he called you the night before and you just said yes. And I think that's a big thing that I believe in. And we tell our clients a lot, is just having that yes mentality. Obviously there's a time to say no, but you never know what a yes will bring you. Who you'll meet or what will come of it. So I love that you just kind of on a whim said yes. Do you think that quality about you has given you other opportunities in your career? Have you found that to be ever the case?
I think so. I mean,
it doesn't even have to be like a project, you know, it could be like whatever, a friend saying, "Do you want to go get coffee?" And you might not feel like it and you say yes, and you know,
absolutely,
you meet somebody or something happens because of that.
And what's and it's actually exactly the reason I try to always say yes. I think earlier I shared when I moved to New York, I really didn't know anyone. I didn't come from this school where my whole grade was in New York. I just, the people that I've done shows with are pretty much the people that I know in the city, with the exception of a few other people. And so some of my closest and best friends I've made connections with because I said yes to like going to this event or going to that birthday party, or, you know, I recently became friends with a photographer, John Taylor, because he needed an assistant one day with a shoot he was doing. And I was like, hi, you don't know me, but I'll help you out. It's a pandemic. What else am I doing right now? And, you know, and so now we're good friends and he's a wonderful person. And I think that the more you say yes, the more you just are going to have wonderful opportunities given to you in life, in your career. And I try to always say yes if I can.
Yeah. All right. We're going to leave it off with that because that's some golden advice there for everyone listening to take for sure. Hillary, thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. All right, everyone. Thanks again for listening to this episode with Hillary Porter. If you want to follow her on Instagram, it's HillaryPorter_. You can also see that in the description of this episode. Once again, if you want to try a free trial, go to builtforthestage.com or click the link in the description of this episode. Thanks again to our producing team, Broadway Podcast Network. You can check them out at bpn.fm. All right, until next time, it's me, Roscoe, signing off.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com and, of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.